Hi, Dolly.
Hi, Denbo.
Happy Sunday.
Happy Sunday. But it's Labor Day. It's a holiday.
Well, it's not always on a Sunday, but almost on a Sunday.
Exactly.
Welcome to Season 3.
Oh, is this going to be Season 3?
This is going to be the start of Season 3. It's our anniversary weekend, and so why not start a new season now?
Oh, okay. Sounds good to me.
I love you.
Love you too.
So, welcome to the third season.
Welcome back, right?
Yeah, welcome back. We had an extended conversation about how we should or should not begin this podcast. It's been a few weeks since we've done one, and we thought it would be appropriate to do a quick check-in on where we're at with respect to seasons, and somehow the first season was many more than the second season, and we decided that we were going to shake things up this year for this season, and since it's our anniversary weekend, we're going to do something a little bit different, and that is, instead of focusing on the number or the quantity, we're going to focus on the quality.
Ooh.
Of our podcast.
Well, I hear a baby crying in the background, so I wonder what that has to do with the quality.
Well, they're not getting the quality that they want. Not necessarily what they need, but we're at Plymouth's downtown park, and we've got the windows of the truck open, and there's lots of people around, a couple of more senior gentlemen who are having a conversation about something important under the shade tree, and families walking by, couples, and then there's Lo and Den sitting here in the truck, our portable studio.
Mm-hmm.
But, so I thought as a kickoff for the new season that I'd ask a question, and I'm going to ask the questions this season. And so the question that I'm going to ask us to talk about for our entertainment, if no one else's, is if we're going to do this always on a Sunday, or occasionally we'll call it almost on a Sunday, what do you think the aim of our podcast is?
Oh, I think it's strictly for entertainment purposes, just for fun and games. And, you know, when we first started this, and the reason I wanted to record the podcast, actually, I had two purposes in mind. One was because our conversations can be hilarious when it's just the two of us together. And I wanted to capture that.
Yeah.
And also just to give some insight into what our lives are like for our children and our children's children and our nieces and nephews.
Well, that's a good aim. Why do you think they listen to it?
Because we're hilarious.
Yeah.
We think we are anyway.
Yeah.
I think it's just nice to capture a little bit of people's day-to-day lives. Like, one of the things I'm always interested in is not necessarily what the most famous person is doing, because their lives aren't quote-unquote normal, but just what goes on in just day-to-day living, just the hilarity of just day-to-day living. I mean, life is funny. It can be.
Well, it is in the search for normality that I think we have so much untapped knowledge. People could find out so much more about our fellow travelers on this planet hurtling through space if we just got to know people instead of paying so much attention to the news, you know, what country's doing what, or what politician's doing what, or what business person is performing some misdeed or some great accomplishment. I think that regular people, I consider you and I to be regular people, have very interesting lives if we just pay attention.
Right. So that's kind of it for me.
Okay.
What about for you? What do you think the aim is?
Well, I think the aim is to do two things. First of all, to spend quiet time having a conversation with my darling Lois. And since this is our anniversary weekend, it just seemed really fitting to think about it some more. You know, we have heard various writers talk about the seasons of our lives, and you and I have seasons of our life together. Oh, another baby crying. I always take a baby cry as a good sign. Because their lungs are healthy if they're crying.
And they're hungry.
And they're
almost said they're hungry.
We were making fun of that word yesterday because...
Put down more windows in the truck so we get some more air, maybe.
Okay. So we were talking
hungry.
About... What do we want to do for lunch? And I said, instead of, I'm hungry, I said, I'm hungry. And Lois started making fun of me. And then we got into the perplexing advertising campaign for, what's the name of that soup? Hungry Man? How do you handle a hungry man?
I know.
The manhandler.
I know, and it's not soup.
I thought it was soup. Well, anyways.
We digress.
And the pedestrians who walk by while we're doing this probably think we're a couple of nuts. And they'd be right.
I hope so. I don't want to be normal.
Yeah.
I want to be Nutty Cucalata.
Well, you know that line from the movie about the normal brain?
Yeah.
It's Abby Normal.
Oh.
Oh, Lord. Well.
So you started to talk about the seasons of our life, although we've met in the later season of our lives.
Well, we weren't.
We met and married in the later season of our lives.
Yeah, we weren't spring chickens, to be sure.
No, although I was born in the spring.
Yeah, and we kind of met in the spring, so maybe you were a spring chicken. And I was just the old rooster.
I wouldn't say you're old, honey.
Well, somewhere along the line, I think we've both laid a couple of eggs. I'm sorry, I'm channeling my brother Dave too much.
You're making me giggle.
Good. Better than making you cry.
Oh, yeah.
So, as I was thinking about this, what we share with our younger relatives, and perhaps relatives yet to be born, I think it's kind of cool to be able to have some way to communicate beyond just what we say to each other and to share that conversation. I had a friend that I worked with for several years, and he had a closet full of tape recordings of conversations that he had with his son, and he lost his son at a young age, and it was some comfort to him to be able to go back and play those recordings and hear about this child of his that he and his wife missed.
Oh, yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah. So, also, somewhere in my future, I hope to reclaim 7 diaries that were my grandma surgeon's diaries. And at a certain point after my grandma gave them to me, she wanted to see them again to, you know, stimulate her memories of having them in her possession and the things that were within them. She just felt some comfort, so I took them back to her, reclaimed them a few months later, and as Grandma was, shall we say, getting into her really senior years, not too long before her death, I got a request from my dad to bring him back because Grandma had asked him if I would bring him back one more time. So I did. And sadly, soon after, she went into the nursing home. And my uncle took possession of the family farm. I think it was before he technically bought it. But he has possession of them now and claims that they're lost because they had a fire, I think, in their house. And so I'm going to keep trying to think of a way and a time when I can ask him to give me those back. But
if they're lost in the fire, they're lost.
Well, they weren't lost in the fire. He said they were lost because they had to move things because they had a fire.
Oh, okay. Wow.
And it might be that they are harder to find because they're not in 7 separate pieces. They're in a little box that I had that was from a Falcon Technology software box back when the discs with the applications were the big ones, not the little floppy disks. So.
I have a feeling that those will get passed on to your uncle's children, and then they'll want to share with the family, and so I do think you'll see them again.
Well, I hope so.
Yeah.
But the point of me bringing them up is that they have their diaries. They have insight into the lives of these women who were farmers, who were, you know, growing animals, tending crops. And in fact, for the year that my grandfather was born, one of the diaries was by his mother. So this would be my great-grandmother's diary for the time that my grandfather was born. And so I went and looked at the day that he was born in her diary or journal. And it said she was out in the field picking rocks and then went in at lunch, had a baby boy, named him Ben. And the very next day she was back out in the field picking rocks. And I just said, oh man, that is a insight to her life and his life where he grew up. He was born in between his mother picking rocks in the morning and picking rocks the next day.
Well, she must have been super strong.
Oh, I mean, absolutely.
She must have been like very healthy, very muscular, very strong to be able to accomplish that.
Well, I've only seen one picture of her, and she looked like she could
take care of herself.
Yeah, tear the backside off of something. She looked tough. And it also gave me insight to something my grandpa always said. And I want you to think back to that time frame when you were young and you were hearing where people were from and you having this curiosity about where am I from. And it brings up a question that I asked of Grandpa. Grandpa, where are you from? And I thought he'd say something like Ireland or England or wherever. He said, I was born under a rock. And so it gave new meaning to my grandpa. Maybe he was just trying to make a joke about he was born there on the farm. His mother was busy picking rocks and she found him under a rock. Maybe that's what she always said, is she found him under a rock.
That's cute.
And so it also ties into another story. I hope I'm not repeating a story you've heard before, but I asked my mom about
You're making me laugh.
I asked my mom about the same time. Mom, where did I come from? And you laugh. You've heard this story before.
It's just funny.
My mother tried to explain the birds and the bees to me. And I said, well, Jim Richardson, he's from Ireland. My mom was trying to be helpful, as she always is, but I thought it was funny, and I didn't care about the birds and the bees. I didn't even understand
what she was talking. You just wanted to know
where you
were from. Yeah. You have told that story, but it's hilarious.
Yeah.
All right, so you've got, I notice you've got sticky notes with questions on them, Denbo.
No,
are there actually going to be questions?
I'm going to have a question for you next time, too. It'll be a different question.
You mean you don't have any questions for me today?
Well, let's see. What would be another question I could ask?
Well, since it's our anniversary weekend, I mean, certainly there must be something you want to ask me on our anniversary weekend.
Yeah, here's the question that is not written on a sticky note because it comes from my heart. What is it about me that you appreciate? My sense of humor? Because you are laughing.
Because you're hilarious. What do I appreciate about you?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, I appreciate that you're self-sufficient and that you're a productive person and that you make your own money. I will definitely say that I appreciate that. And I appreciate that you allow me to do what I want to do to make money for myself and do my own thing. So I appreciate that we are both productive citizens and that we can do our own thing, make our own money, and spend our money the way we want. I appreciate that about you, that you're not like, hey, let's combine our money, or maybe we should do this, or maybe we should do that. I appreciate that. So that's, from that standpoint, I appreciate that. from a financial standpoint. From a companionship, I think companionship is the most thing that I appreciate about you, is that you are a wonderful companion and that you're fun to be with and you're cute and you're hilarious and just the way you are. You're just a funny person. To me, you're a funny person. I hope that's not offensive. But I just think you're just the way you are, because when we met, I mean, you were 52 years old and so fully half your life lived, right? And so you're a fully formed individual and person. And so to me, it's just about appreciating who you are, where you've been, where you've, you know, where you're at and where you're going. And we don't know where we're going, but it's just appreciating you for who you are in this moment, I guess. So that's what I appreciate about you. I appreciate that you're kind to people. I appreciate that when we go to social events that we don't have to be right next to each other, that you're able to socialize without me, you know. And I've never been with anybody that couldn't, but I just think sometimes, ooh, I wouldn't want to be with somebody who's like a Klingon while I'm at a social event and can't socialize on their own. In fact, we've gone to many social events in our 14 years of marriage and the 4 years of dating before that, where we would hit the floor of the venue and we'd be going in separate directions, and an hour later I'd see you talking to people over there, I'd be over here, you know. And I do appreciate that about you.
Yes, somewhat ironic that that was the one thing that I, if I had a chance to do it over again at our wedding, I would not have separated from you.
I was gonna say,
right after the
after we were married, you like you were so funny. That is one of the things that I was a little bit kind of like, okay, hello, we're married now. And you went back up the aisle by yourself and started shaking hands with everybody and getting all the congratulations. And you were like ushering people out row by row as the groom. You really should have been with your bride.
Yeah, I should have been.
But it was kind of funny. Because you were the host of the event. So, but you were like, everybody was congratulating you and you were by yourself. It was kind of funny.
Well, they were congratulating me because I really, really have a trophy wife.
And, no, that's not why.
And all of the...
No, people want to see you be happy.
And all of the listeners can hear our planes and cars. Suddenly there's a traffic jam outside our window. And a plane just took off from the airport and decided to buzz Main Street.
I don't know if that background noise is picked up or not. Maybe it is. Well, anyways, I appreciate many, many things about you. But, I mean, obviously you're loving. I appreciate the relationship that you have with your own mother, because it shows me how loving you are and how nice you are and kind you are to your parents. And I know you had your, you know, your days of conflict with your own father, which is completely normal for the development of a young person, to have conflicts with their parents and do things differently than their parents. But, you know, looking at you at this stage of your life, I definitely appreciate the fact that you have a great relationship with your mom, and your mother's so kind, and you really appreciate everything about her.
Well, it's always been in my nature to love my parents, and though at one moment or another I might have disagreed with them and maybe even fought them, the model that they set for me was pretty much they were always peacefully coexisting, you know, speaking to each other with love. And occasionally my dad would get a little cranky with me because I was not doing things the way he wanted me to or whatever, but I had great love for both of my parents, and I still do.
Yeah, and I feel like your parents lived their faith, which is admirable as well. But like the way you treat people is what I appreciate, you know, because that kind of gives me insight into who you are, you know.
Yeah, and I see the same thing in you.
How I treat people. Yeah, well, I'm very selective, but yeah.
Well, I'm just grateful when you,
I know,
treat
that probably
me.
Sounds bad, but I'm not going to suffer anybody who's not kind, you know. Anybody who you know, isn't kind to me, I'm just going to say, all right, that's where you're at this point in your life, that's fine. I don't need to have that in my life. Yeah. So I'm easily able to move away from or shed relationships that don't, you know, don't support me and don't lift me up. You, on the other hand, are very supportive, very uplifting. Every day you say something super positive. You know, you're probably the most positive person I've ever met. And I'm so glad that I married you, because otherwise I might know you as a friend and think, wow, that Dennis is so upbeat and positive. Now I can say, wow, my husband is so upbeat and positive. You know, so I feel like I hit the jackpot with husbands.
Oh, well, thank you.
Well, how's that for appreciation?
Wow. Well, it reminds me, there's a TV show about some soccer coach who's never been a soccer coach before, but he's a very positive Ted something.
Ted Lasso.
Oh, yeah, Ted Lasso. I've never seen the show, but apparently it's resonating with people.
Oh, we got our text message.
Yeah. We had an opportunity this weekend, as we're celebrating our anniversary, to do something special. Would you tell us what was the best part about Saturday for you?
Well, Saturday, we had this. This is one of the other things I love about you and appreciate about you is your spontaneity. So I think it was Thursday. I said, you know, let's do something on Saturday. How about if we go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland? And you're like, yeah, that'd be great. And I love that about you, that you're like, yeah, let's do it, you know. So there's no like, oh, I got to do this or I got to do that. No. So we just, because Saturday, I think, is our anniversary only because it's the Saturday of Labor Day weekend. And that's, to me, that's when we got married, the Saturday of Labor Day weekend, regardless of what the actual date was. So anyhow, we went there. It was fantastic. We loved every minute of it. And they give the whole history of rock and roll all the way back to, you know, the Carters and to, you know, people even before.
Blues artists.
Blues artists, like yeah. Way back, you know, Muddy Waters, Bo Diddley. I mean, even further back, even people more obscure than that.
Robert Johnson.
People that really started with the rhythm and blues, or the blues, right? And then yes. Into rhythm and blues, and then rock from there. And just, it was just phenomenal, the whole exhibit. And I loved it, too, that they even had, like they were celebrating 50 years of hip-hop.
Yes.
Which I thought was great, too, because there are so many aspects or genres, even of what's considered to be rock and roll. And so yeah. I was happy to see that. The one thing I didn't care for, and this is nothing against all the Swiftie fans out there, but they had Taylor Swift outfit there, and they kind of had her in one of the areas. But I thought, why? Because to me, she's not rock. She's pop. Or yeah. She's even country.
Yeah.
You know, and so do I want to go to the Country Hall of Fame someday? Yes. Do I want to go to Memphis and see Graceland? Yes. I mean, there's other museums. I want to go see Prince's Museum up in Minnesota. So, I mean, there's things that I want to do and see, but I just felt like for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I just didn't know if having Taylor Swift's outfit there was appropriate. What I did love was up on the fourth floor, or the fifth floor, they had like a guitarist feature. So they were featuring like four really great guitarists. One was from Nine Inch Nails. One was from Rage Against the Machine, that Tom Morello. And one was Eddie Van Halen, from right. Van Halen. And then the fourth guy, I don't remember because I had my back to him. But they had like these four room, this like room had four sides. And you would look to the screens on the different sides and they would tell their story about how they learned how to play. And what was interesting to me is how each of them didn't necessarily use formal lessons, or they moved away from their formal lessons to become innovators in their guitar playing.
Yeah.
And I thought that was super cool and set them apart as guitarists.
Yeah. That Tom Morello was really interesting. I mean, he was just so amazing about the depths to which he described his journey as he learned how to teach himself to play guitar.
Yeah, because he said he didn't pick up a guitar until he was 17 or something like that.
Yeah. And I'm forgetting for the moment about whether it was him or Eddie Van Halen who talked about the innovation they found in Allen wrench.
That was Tom Morello, yeah.
That just a simple tool used for something else, he could use that to help shape the music that he wanted to create.
You know what I loved about Eddie Van Halen? He said what inspired him, because he was famous for playing the neck of the guitar.
Yeah.
And what inspired him was when he went to see Led Zeppelin concert and he saw Jimmy Page with his left hand playing a chord and then his right arm up in the air after he strummed the guitar. and he made sounds with his left hand on the chords, and that's what inspired Eddie Van Halen to start playing the neck of the guitar.
Yeah.
And it was just, I mean, it was just like the coolest thing, like what inspired him. I thought that was a cool story, and him telling that story himself, and then also saying, because this interview was later in life, he said the best thing was that he was so blessed because he got to play in a band with his brother and his son.
Yeah.
And I just think that was the coolest.
Yeah, it was.
Now, Dumbo, I'm not going to ask you what your favorite thing was of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, because I know there's a lot. But what is something that you want to go back and look at closer or really get into?
Well, I think the thing that I want to get into more is the details of all of the displays. There was such an overwhelming amount of artifacts that it was just, it was overwhelming. You couldn't take it all in. And I entirely skipped the Elvis exhibit because I felt like I knew as much about Elvis as I wanted to. For the moment, I wanted to see all the other stuff because Elvis got, you know, so much publicity in his life and his music. The Motown section I thought was underrepresented, but I'd like to spend more time there because there were some cool things there. The Philly section, I would have loved to spend more time there. So when I go back, I'll probably do more of that. I too thought it was just a little bit overwhelming to have so much wall space devoted to Taylor Swift. Like they had a throne that she had from one of her sets, which, you know, I think it's kind of a cool thing, but it's spread out so much with all these big outfits. And I'm not sure what the impact of her will be historically, but what I would really like to see is more about Tina Turner. I was also thrilled with what they had on Wanda Jackson. I'd like to spend more time. I think they missed, or maybe they haven't and I missed it. They didn't have anything about Brenda Lee, who the Beatles, John Lennon in particular, said he thought she invented rock and roll singing. And I've often thought that Brenda Lee was one of the foremothers of rock and roll music, but she was, I thought she was copying, I thought she was copying Wanda Jackson's vocal styles. So I said, yeah, I'd like to go back and explore some more and find out what they had to say about Brenda Lee. They also had a good amount about the Everly Brothers, but they had a whole lot more about so many other artists. Like Chuck Berry, that's another display that I would just love to spend more time with because they had so much there. They had contracts and, you know, the agreements that they made with their promoters or with their publishers. And there was a letter from Jimi Hendrix to the music executives, and you could tell he probably was under the influence of some kind of psychedelic drug, or maybe this was just the way he expressed himself without benefit of LSD. But the part that I thought was really interesting is the way he phrased, and it was written in his own hand, and he was, in a way, saying what was wrong with the music business from his perspective and respectfully telling them to go get lost.
Tell them to go F themselves.
Something like that.
Oh my gosh.
So those are the things I'd go back and look to.
Yeah, seeing Jimi Hendrix handwritten out, even his handwritten out lyrics and all of that was super cool too. And I didn't get a chance to really focus on the Rolling Stones exhibit, which, you know, the Rolling Stones is my all-time favorite And so I didn't get a chance because that was quite crowded there and I didn't want to crowd in. So there's definitely something to see there. I would recommend if we ever were to go back would be to go back on a weekday and not in the summer, right?
And not during the air show.
Oh, yeah. And then, of course, well, that was kind of like the cherry on the Sunday, right? Or
yeah.
The cherry on the Saturday. When we left, there was the Cleveland National Air Show was in progress. And so we had no idea that that was happening. And so when we came outside, we were greeted by an F-22 zooming over, and, you know, right there on the, because the museum's right there on the waterfront. So that was like, whoa.
And seeming to float in the air.
Yeah, the maneuvers in air with that thing were just, and that, they went on for at least a half hour to 45 minutes. And they that was the... And I think prior to that, they had had an F-18, too, but we might have missed that part. But that F-22 was amazing. And so it really gave me a greater appreciation for these fighter jets and their capabilities.
Yeah.
I mean, how they could just turn on a dime and seemingly float in the air and then go straight up or whatever. And just the maneuvering that they're, the agility that they had.
Yeah. And
they're stealthy, too. Like, all of us, you see it, but then you don't hear it.
Yeah.
And then you hear it.
Yeah. Well, that's because they're going faster than the speed of sound.
Yeah, it's just amazing. It was amazing.
Yeah. And for, it was really a great gift for me because over time, as I've gotten to really know you, I mean, as a married couple, I think we begin to really understand who our partner is better. But I saw the little girl in you in amazement at what that jet was doing, and it was really kind of cool to see the gee wow kind of reactions. I felt like a kid again.
Oh, Dimple.
Just trying to keep up with where is that thing?
Yeah. We were standing on the cement, and we were trying to stay in the shadow of a flag that was hanging overhead, you know, but it was quite warm out.
Yes, it was.
On the cement, but we lasted at least 30 minutes watching that thing, and we left before it was completely over, but yeah, that was cool, Denbo. Well, we had a great weekend, honestly. And
yeah.
Well, I think we should carry on with the rest of our day. It's time to go water the flowers and...
Yeah, get started with our labors on Labor Day.
get our work done for Labor Day so we can get ready for work tomorrow.
Yeah, we got a short week.
Well, Denbo, I love you. I appreciate you.
I love you, Lois. I really appreciate
you. And I'm glad
you.
That we're married. So.
I am too.
Thank you for taking me on because I know I'm not the easiest person to live with, Denbo. Not
I
that I try to be that way. It's just how I am.
But. It's just we are the way we are.
That's right.
I'm not going to try to change you. No. Just try to understand you.
No, don't try to change me, and I won't try to change you.
Well, that's that old Leslie.
Until it's time to change your diapers, then I will change you. Then I will change you.
I've got a suggestion for you. Hire it done.
Hire it done? I think I can do it better than anybody else.
Well,
I don't think anybody can take care of you as good as I can. But
I think that's.
I hope that doesn't
true.
Sound scary like Kathy, that movie with Kathy Bates.
No.
But I think I'm good at taking care of you.
I'm grateful for your love and affection, and I'm grateful that I've been able to help you in some way these
you
last
have.
Few months.
You have with my ankle and toe issues. So thank you, darling.
I love you.
I love you. Thank you for being wonderful to me.
And thank you for being you.
Kisses.